Senate State Affairs come to order. It's 8:03 a.m. on the 14th of April 2015. Have members present, Senator McGuire, Senator Huggins, Stoltz, and Vice Chair Coghill. We have a quorum to do business. We have several bills up, and we will have members that have to leave for a short duration, so we'll establish our quorum and take public testimony. The main bill we'll be spending most of our time on today is Senate Bill 89. We're going to, I think we have a fairly uncontroversial bill to dispense with, Senate Bill 9, which is the election pamphlet. I saw Mr. Kopp here. Please come forward. Do members have that bill before them? Why don't you reacquaint the committee with your, in the public, with your identity and just the general topic of the bill. I don't think we have to go too much in depth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Chuck Kopp, staff to Senator Michiki. Senate Bill 9 amends Title 15 Elections, regulating the content of election pamphlets. It repeals the authority to include advertising from a political party in the publicly funded election pamphlet. The pamphlet produced by the Division of Elections produces and provides information about candidates, initiatives, and judges to help voters be knowledgeable about matters that will be on their election ballot. The Elections Division reports that political party submission revenue is about $2,400 in the last pamphlet, which is less than 1% of the cost of producing and mailing the document. The sponsor's view is that every election cycle, voters are bombarded with political mailings, flyers, radio and television advertisements, and the publicly funded election pamphlet should not be a platform for political advertising, but a source of free, unbiased, and in-depth information about the candidates, officials, issues, and legislation. That's it in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions from the members of the committee? Ms. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Kopp, was there anyone else? I'm looking here at Title 1558020, and this has been a while since we've had this bill up. Are there any other people that can publish in the official election ballot that you have red flagged, besides the candidates themselves and their statements, and, of course, the individual initiatives? The pro side and the anti side get together and battle it out, and the lieutenant governor approves language. Is there anyone else that we should be removing?
This, through the chair, Senator McGuire, this is the only paid advertisement that is outside of what is already authorized free of charge in the general election pamphlet.
Okay, but through the chair, do we have nonprofits that are publishing? Do we have people that are not? In other words, I'd like to be able to open up my pamphlet.
Senator, go ahead and turn the table.
And just see, you know, the candidates themselves, their biographies. I mean, we're to that place by this time. I agree with the chairman. We've listened to the ads. We've watched them. We've had the people come to our doors. Now I just want an unadulterated, here's the candidate. Here's their bio submitted with the word limit. Here's an official position on an initiative or referendum that's been approved by the lieutenant governor. And no other nonsense. Is that what I'm getting now after this?
Through the chair, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I believe the only other nonsense we will allow is the Judicial Council will be able to continue to promote their candidates for and against, including the against part, which I think is a negative thing, but the sponsor has asked us not to deal with that issue on his bill. I think it's a valid issue, but I will respect the sponsor's will, and the courts continue, and the Judicial Council continue to run amok. And Mr. that's probably not the characterization Senator Michiki had, but that said, that was my. I thought it would be a good tool to get rid of a problem, but I respect your bill. You want to make this simply your issue, and I'll respect that.
I'd like to hear him comment on
it. Sure.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I certainly think that's a valuable effort. I just thought it would complicate this bill. This one's pretty clear, and it's just pretty funny because someone asked me about whether or not this compromises the right to free speech, and I just think it's too close to the ballot. I mean, then it might be the next step is logos and ads on the ballot itself. I just think this should be a pure document, and that's my only effort here.
I think the Judicial Council continues to get free speech, and the parties were paying for it. But again, I pick my fights and my battle places, and my intense respect and admiration for you caused me to yield.
Any other questions?
Barely persuaded by you, Mr. Chairman.
Barely, huh? Again, it's you pick your fight, Senator. With that, is there any members from the public that wish to testify? Anybody here in the audience? That.
Get a motion?
We've had the fiscal note discussion. Senator Machicki is going to deprive us of $2,400 in these trying times. With that, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 9 with individual recommendations and zero fiscal notes out of the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Hear no objection. There is no such thing as true speech, free speech. We exacted a little price for your attendance today. With that, the bill is moved out of committee and we'll sign it during.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Proceedings.
Thank
you. Senator Dunleavy, we have good to see you, Senator Machicki. And Ms. Markham. Does everybody have Senate Bill 89 before them? Welcome, Senator and staff.
Good morning.
Ms. Markham.
It's a small little bill, Chairman, 89 is. Let me know when you want us to begin.
Well, normally in the Senate, I think, as in other committees, we begin with an introduction of yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Senator Dunleavy, and I represent District E, which is the Mat Valley, Copper River Valley, Delta to Valdez, Broad Pass to Houston, north of Wasilla and Palmer, and the fine community of Whittier. And today we're here to testify and testify on committee substitute for Senate Bill 89. And would you like me to continue just with an introduction on the bill?
Senator, why don't you discuss the overlying intent and merits of your bill, and Ms. Markham can talk about the committee substitute.
Okay, thank you. So the purpose of SB 89 is to reiterate the inherent rights of parents. These rights have always existed. These rights have never been extinguished. These rights, in our opinion, have never been taken away. And we're reiterating these rights because recently, and it's been accelerated since probably No Child Left Behind in 2001, there's been more and more of a demand by practitioners and state agencies and federal agencies to assess children, but also to take that data and use that data for the stated purposes of trying to help improve instruction, but also at the same time labeling schools to see where they fall, whether they are, quote, failing schools or schools that are actually assisting students. And we have no issue with that, but there's been a growing body of constituents, parents, including myself, that feel that we should be able to opt out and not be part of certain requests. And those requests, it's kind of a fuzzy area because they're requests, but they're also sometimes come across as demands for children to be assessed, for children to be in certain classes that parents may feel are in conflict with their values and may not necessarily be courses or presentations or classes or activities that are held within the school arena. There are parents that feel that sometimes these issues are not in line with their particular values and, as a matter of fact, may run counter to their values. Most parents believe that when you send your child to school in the morning and they waddle to the bus and they get off the bus and go to school, that they're going to be learning about the three R's: writing, reading, math, science, history, etc. And so if that's not the case, parents want to be able to exercise their inherent rights to be able to say no to a particular, as I said, no to a particular lesson or activity. Also in the bill is a section that denies abortion providers the right to be in the schools, to be able to have a captive audience, which kids are, basically it's a captive audience in the schools. And all we're saying is those abortion providers should take their business outside of the walls of the schools. If parents want to send their kids to those activities, they can do so after hours or before hours. But these groups should not have free access to a captive audience inside the school building. So in essence, that's what the bill is. It just reiterates inherent rights of parents make sure that those groups that are involved in providing abortion services do so and have those discussions outside of the school walls.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Wilichowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How do you define abortion services provider?
Somebody that provides abortion services.
So if Providence Hospital provides a life-threatening an abortion for a woman who would otherwise die, then they would be an abortion service provider?
I think there could be some individuals that make that stretch, Senator, but I think generally speaking, most folks would view Providence Hospital as a medical provider.
Well, if they provide abortion services, then I can only read by the plain language here that they're an abortion service provider. And so if you have someone who's a volunteer at Providence Hospital, under this, you are not allowing them to come in to speak on to a group of students?
If one of the main components of their services that they provide is the stated purpose of abortion, any group whose stated purpose is abortion, or in which that's a main component of what they provide, then I would say that the answer would be no.
But it doesn't say main component. It just says it's a volunteer, an employer. Let's see. It says here. I'll read it. A school district may not permit an abortion services provider or a employer or volunteer of an abortion services provider. It doesn't say that that's their main component of business. It could just be one abortion. It could just be one abortion provided a couple of years ago.
Right.
At Providence Hospital for a life-threatening case. And you're saying that a person who volunteers at Alaska Regional Providence Hospital, which is an institution which maybe provides one abortion, would not be able to volunteer at a school.
No, that's not what you're saying.
That's what the language says. Correct?
No, but that's what you're saying, but that's not what I'm saying.
Okay. Please just, this gets a little more testy. Let's keep it through the chair.
So I'm sorry, to the chair, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay. And should we clarify the language?
I don't believe so. I believe that, again, the purpose is for those who, as a main component of their business, is abortion, providing abortions. And I do not, through the chair, I do not believe that Providence Hospital's main function is to provide abortions.
Senator Wilichowski.
Should we add a provision there that says may not permit a volunteer of an abortion of someone? Should we define abortion services provider as some organization whose main purpose is to provide abortion?
Through the chair, once this bill goes to your committee, it's a bill of the committee, and that would be a discussion, I would think, for your committee, but my advice would be no. Through the chair.
So then, what number of abortions, in your opinion, makes an organization an abortion services provider?
Through the chair, I don't have a particular number. I haven't thought about a particular number. Merely what we wanted to do was to prevent abortion providers from having a captive audience of children to peddle their services, their values, their ideas to a captive audience of children. Right after school, across the street, I think that's, I have no issue with that. But inside the school, during school hours, when most parents think that their children are in school learning the three R's, I have an issue with it, as well as a whole number of other folks in the state of Alaska, through the chair.
One more, Senator Wilichowski.
And when you say peddle their services, do you think these volunteers at Providence Hospital who performs maybe one abortion a year are somehow peddling abortions for kids in elementary schools? Do you have any evidence that this is happening in schools?
Through the chair, once again, I don't believe that Providence Hospital's main purpose is abortion.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, through the chair. Well, I mean, I think we know what we're talking about. We're really not talking about Providence Hospital, but I think what Senator Wilikowski is trying to get at, and it's probably worth us making sure the courts will look at things to decide if they're overly broad. And part of what I think he's trying to get to is whether or not you're going too far in this area. But I want to back up just for a second and say, overall, I think that the places in which you ask a parent to intersect with what their values don't like and the school may not like is a good point. I want to say that. I think it's scary for a lot of people. I think they find it frightening, but it's not. It really isn't. It's a chance for families to sit down and say, we don't want you to participate in this activity or in this test or in this thing because our family values are the following things, and your family is the most important thing you have. So I would just start by saying I like the approach to the bill. I don't think families are as involved anymore as much as they should be, and I think this is a really good a good thing. Now, when it comes to the issue of human sexuality and so on, I'm a doctor's daughter, so I might come at it from a little bit of a different perspective. And I guess my only concern would be that I do want young people, particularly teenage children, to have some access to information about what's happening to their bodies, the changes that are going on in puberty, what that means, the hormones, how that might change behavior, and how to respond accordingly in a way to protect themselves, in a way not to get pregnant, should they decide to engage in sex. Of course, we'd all hope they would not, right, as a parent. Probably I'd like Grayson to wait till he's 30 if I could ask him to, but that's not the reality. And so what I want to be clear here is that we don't go too far to the point where I get your point about bias and your point about not wanting your daughters to be in a setting where they're being told abortion, abortion, abortion. That makes sense to me. But I just don't want us to go so far that we don't have that opportunity for young people to get some kind of read on what's happening. So if you could just tell me a little bit, because we have four boys, so I don't know what is happening in schools right now that has precipitated this. You alerted me to the standardized testing thing. I don't know what's going on with Planned Parenthood and kids being taught about abortions. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
And just briefly, because we're going to get to adopting this, introducing the CS, and then public testimony. We'll have a lot of this wide-ranging debate when we discuss the full bill.
Very quickly, through the chair, that we had gotten phone calls from constituents and others throughout the state that there were abortion providers in the state providing, quote, lessons, trainings for teenagers, so they can talk to others about sex and reproductive issues. This bill does not prevent health teachers in a school from teaching sex ed. It doesn't do that. Okay. This is third parties using the school as a host, a proxy, to come into the schools, intercept children, and as some parents said, get between themselves and their children in terms of values on reproductive services, sexuality, etc.
Okay.
But the schools with a health teacher, they can still provide sex education, and they should.
Okay.
Okay. Senator Coghill, you're going to make a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we have the draft version G of the CS for Senate bill. So I would move that we have as a working document the draft version 29-LS0735/G, dated 4/10, as our working document for Senate Bill 89.
I'll object for presentation by Ms. Markham.
Bethany Markham.
And we're going to be losing two members at a little before 8:30.
Bethany Markham, staff for Senator Mike Dunleavy. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 89 for State Affairs. Basically eliminate some unfunded mandates. There are three primary things that it does. One is on page 4, lines 20 through 27 of the committee substitute. And what it does is, right now, if an individual is going to be employed at a child care facility and they already have a teacher certificate, they must be fingerprinted twice. This would eliminate that duplicate fingerprinting and provide for deed to supply the fingerprint records to HESS at the request of the individual. The second change is on page 4, lines 2 through 7. Currently, there is no state requirement for physical exams for teachers. Some districts may require those physical exams, and if school districts are requiring them, there's a new section added, subsection 6, that would state that the district can't pay for them. The third primary change is regarding physical exams for children, and that can be found on page 4, line 28. And it eliminates the requirement for school districts to provide physical exams for children. Currently, there is language that HESS can require districts to conduct physical exams, and that hasn't changed. And they may reimburse the district as required. And so there is conforming language to remove the word additional regarding the HESS exams. But this committee substitute would remove the requirement for the school districts to provide those exams, taking the burden off the school districts. Additionally, there's some other conforming language. With the previous school district provided exam, there was a report required to be provided to parents. That report obviously would go away since the exams would be going away. That's on page 4, line 28 also. And then on page 4, lines 14 through 18, there's some conforming language also removed regarding that statute being repealed.
I'll remove my objection. Are there other objections to this committee substitute being the working document?
I have some more.
On the CS?
Yes.
Okay. On the CS?
Well, I have a question on if the health teacher who's teaching these courses is a volunteer at an abortion services provider, would they not be permitted to teach?
I don't believe that's the case.
So that
they would be teaching the school district approved curriculum through the chair.
Yes.
They would be teaching the school district approved curriculum that has been vetted by the school district in a public forum as to what that curriculum is going to be. The public would know what that is going to be. It would be adopted by the school district. It would be implemented according to guidelines and standards.
Okay, so a healthcare could be a volunteer or an employee at an abortion services provider, and that's okay.
Through the chair, a health teacher who's contracted by the school district to be a teacher with a type A, if they have district-approved curriculum that's been vetted, would be able to teach, and most likely in a health class, the prescribed curriculum as it applies to human sexuality.
On the CS?
Well, I don't know if this applies to the CS or
we're
not.
We're going to have a wide range. There'll be a lot of discussion. Okay. So
one last question, if okay. I could, Mr. Chair. Substitute teacher, let's say the health teacher is out one day, and a substitute comes in and is going to teach the class, and they're a volunteer at an abortion services provider. Is that okay?
That's a very good question.
Is it your intent to prohibit them from substitute teaching that class?
Through the chair, it would be my intent that adopted curriculum that's been vetted by the school board on human sexuality, that if the school district wishes to teach that, that would be fine under this bill.
And there are other objections to the CS.
Mr. Chairman, if I might take a little bit of liberty, because myself and another member got to depart. I've read accounts where one parent essentially gets a thing like a prayer banned from a whole school with football games. And here we're talking about organizations and a broader perspective. I mean, our kids have graduated from school. I quite frankly, didn't object to having a health teacher teach them some of the items that's on the health curriculum, but that's not what I sent them to school for. And I could do that, my wife and I could do that rather handily. On the other hand, I just remind us some of the very narrow-minded exclusions that happens throughout our society, and I think this is much broader. And I have received multiple emails, some against, some for, but I got to tell you, overwhelmingly, people back in the neck of the woods where I'm from are with Senator Dunleavy, as am I.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. And I don't hear any other objection to the CS, so the CS is adopted. And that's before you had to leave. But with the CS is before us, it's our intent to take the public testimony, and I think there were some there's some questions we do want to resolve. We're looking forward to having you back, if not later today. I think this public testimony could well take up the rest of our meeting. So I do want to. We do have these gentlemen will be gone for about a half an hour and then be back with us again.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGuire.
My apologies. Is it your intent? I really have an interest in Senate Bill 58. Is it, pardon me, 80, 58 on insurance? Are you going
to? I have an intense interest. It's the bill I've sponsored, but I also.
We so I'm just asking you procedurally because we can go in and out of recess today. Is it your intent to take it up at some point today?
I would like to. We have enough. We may meet again tomorrow morning to finish up discussion on this bill. We're leaving that open as an option. There are valid questions that we'll resolve, and Senator Dunleavy, I'm sure, will come back. Having done some other investigation and some other thought process will occur, and we'll how we want.
But no, desire to get to that.
No, it's believe me, that's one of the things. And when I was chairing finance for a number of years, is putting your own bills behind your colleagues, because that's what you're. I try not to play favorites with my own, but although I love that bill, but not as
we can do them both.
We'll get to it. With that. Senator Dunleavy, I know you have to leave soon, but you're welcome to stay as long as you wish. But I know I have a lot of people that will be needing to use the table to testify locally. So we're looking forward to having you back and continue the portion of the meeting later where there'll be more opportunities for Senator Wilikowski to probe even deeper and more broadly. And
to the chair, I look forward to it.
Do I?
Verbal spar.
We'll just take a very brief brief at ease. Senate State Affairs come back to order. We're reassembled. We have the brief absence of Senator Huggins and Senator Coghill. They'll be back a little bit after 9 o'clock. We have folks all over the state and in this room. We are going to go through this. We will complete all the testimony. At the very minimum, promise to get to all of these folks if it even takes it in tomorrow. We may not lock and reload. We don't have the ability to go on ad nauseum on this, but we will keep the commitment to everybody that signed up today if we don't get to them today. First, we're going to go to off-net April Smith from North Pole. And we'll give a little pause. I think everybody's been muted, I would suspect.
Yes. Hello?
Ms. Smith, go ahead and identify yourself for the record, and if you can keep it to about 2 minutes, we have a large volume.
Okay. My name is April Smith from North Pole, Alaska.
I'm calling about the Senate Bill 89, and my testimony is just regarding the abortion providers, and I just want to give my personal testimony as to how that affected me in my childhood. And I was listening to the previous testimony and question, and I just want to say that to me, an abortion provider would be more defined as someone who markets and sells abortions, where Providence Hospital is providing them as an extra medical service, but they don't actually sell or market them. What happened with me when I was a teenager, frankly, an elementary school age, was abortion providers came into our school system, taught the sex ed in a fairly neutral manner, just teaching biology, different types of birth control that's available, things like that. They were not selling abortions to us as children. But what it did for me was to create that person in my mind as a safe, wholesome, trustworthy place to go for information about sexuality and decisions about actions that I would take. So what they did in the school was not exactly offensive or inappropriate. But when I went through their door as a 13-year-old girl looking for further information from a trustworthy source, I was immediately pulled into their system of deceit and taught how to make code names for my parents so that they wouldn't know who was calling, to make code names for services Planned Parenthood also a different abortion provider, so you don't think that I'm talking just one place here, provided to me. And what they did in the schools was not offensive, but the imprint that it made on me was that they were safe and trustworthy and knew what was right for me. And as I grew older, I went to them for help, and they taught me how to lie and manipulate adults in my life, and frankly push services that eventually lead to abortion and lots of funding for their services. And I agree with Senator Dunleavy that businesses that sell and market abortion or even birth control or any product should not be teaching in the school. So. It's frankly a matter of endorsing a product that and teaching children that it's a safe, trustworthy place to receive those products.
Ms. Smith, we're going to have to...
not in advertising.
Ms. Smith, we're going to have to stop here because just because of the volume, and we're going to put you down as a yes on 89, let's say.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And my apologies. I know people have some heartfelt short stories and personal experiences to relay, but that's the... We do have a large volume, and I'm going to apologize in advance for the time I'm going to have to cut off people who are telling heartfelt expressions and very personalized things, and it's not the most comfortable part for people to come forward, and I apologize if we seem abrupt in trying to get through the volume, so it's we'll do our best.
Thanks for your time.
Ms. Fussell in Wasilla.
Hello.
Welcome.
Wendell. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Ms. Fussell.
Okay. I'll try to be brief. So I'm Heather Fussell. Do I need to give you my name and all that?
Yes, we just did.
Okay. I'm speaking in support of Senate Bill 89. I just believe that my right as a parent to direct and determine what my children are exposed to, it's paramount, and just to be apprised of what's going on. When they're sent off to school, although my children are homeschooled, if they ever did go to the brick and mortars, it's important to protect those rights. And with regards to abortion services providers being allowed to supply materials to school, it lacks common sense. They make a profit on abortions. That's how I would determine what an abortion services provider is. The majority of profits that they make is from abortion services, and we're teaching children the wrong thing when we expose them to materials from people who will make a profit from on unrestrained, making unrestrained sex healthy, or seem healthy. So it just lacks so much common sense to me, and this bill corrects that and protects our rights and our children. So, support of the bill. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Fussell. Next, we'll go to another off-net, Andy Holloman with the Anchorage Education Association.
Yes, I'm Andy Holloman with the Anchorage
Education Association. Just a little bit louder, Mr. Holloman.
Thank you. Andy Holloman with the Anchorage Education Association, representing about 3,500 educators in the classroom. I want to say I think we all appreciate the clarification or the restatement of parents' rights to be aware and informed. In terms of the specific materials and the specific groups that come into a school, it seems like your local school boards would be the natural place for this to be decided. By creating the discussion or the question about whether or not you violate state law as someone who's a volunteer or an employee of a particular group, And I think we can all agree there are groups we don't want in the school, there are groups that are wonderful to have in the school, and then there are groups somewhere in the middle. And if you put a legal question on that, you put a great burden on a classroom teacher who may be looking for current materials, who may be looking for outside expertise to come in that I don't think is necessarily healthy. School boards have these discussions, parents have these discussions with school board members. That's the right place for a decision like that to be made, and I would hope that you'd remove the language from the bill so that that can be the right place for it to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holloman. I'd just like to note that we have Ms. Benson, Ms. Birch, and Ms. Bell, all from the Department of Health and Social Services, are listening to this, and we'll have them, if they wish to participate, on behalf of the Walker administration as in the wrap-up portion, but appreciate their attendance. Following the bill. Next, we'll go to the Anchorage LIO. We have Jennifer Woolley followed by Lena Illis. And apologize if I slaughter any of these names.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jennifer Woolley, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I'm proud of my state. However, I'm dismayed by Alaska's rate of STIs and sexual assault. My background includes sexual health education, and my future career is in medicine, so I see the direct connection between education and health. I know it is the concern as parents and for parents that led the introduction of this bill, but I caution you to consider the children of parents who are not as involved as we'd hope. Under this bill, these children will have an additional undue burden of obtaining parental consent to access information that may save their lives. They may not be able to access the information they need because their parents are not around. What happens to them then? Consider these Alaskan children and all children and teens who undoubtedly benefit from medically accurate, age-appropriate education about their bodies and relationships. Currently, parents can opt out. Please don't punish children by requiring parents to opt in. As previously mentioned, there is no barrier to parents saying no to any academic content for their children. I ask that before the Senate condemns professionals who are invited by time and money-strapped school districts to provide essential services, that they familiarize themselves with the content of the lessons. And concerned with promoting health, not with the imagined threat of peddling abortions. Please keep our kids safe and oppose SB 89.
Thank you, Ms. Woolley. Next we have Lena Illis, followed by Robin Smith.
I've been in Boats Northwest for the last 4 years, and I've seen how important sex education is for teenagers ranging from middle school to college. Sex education is not only a component, but education for healthy relationships is crucial. Alaska is the number one state for sexual assault, domestic violence, and certain STIs. These issues are personal to me because I have experienced domestic violence in my life, and I've taken my experiences to create awareness and education for others regarding this epidemic in Alaska. Over half of sexually active people will get an STI in their life. By taking away sex education, we are only adding to the problem. By removing sex education, we are letting teenagers be uninformed on how to protect themselves from unwanted pregnancy and STIs. I graduated from the Lhasa Military Youth Academy in 2010, and we did not have comprehensive sex education among our studies. Within the first year of my class graduating, over half of the females had gotten pregnant. Studies show that comprehensive sex education is effective in preventing teen pregnancy. I am asking you to please continue to allow comprehensive sex education among public schools. We have a huge issue regarding domestic violence, sexual assault, STI rates, and eliminating sex education will only create a bigger problem than what our community is already facing.
And can you just state your name for the record so our can we make sure we attribute this testimony to the right person?
Lena Illig.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Ellis. Next we have Robin Smith, followed by Kenny Linden.
Excuse me, this is Robin Smith, but John Blaine has to leave. I'm going to let him go right before
We'll determine the order, but we'd be happy to have Mr. Blaine go right now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to speak against this bill, SB 89. The comments that we've heard so far suggest that a better place for discussing the matters that are before you are the local school boards, and I certainly agree with that. It seems to me that Senate Bill 89 is a direct assault against Planned Parenthood, which has an admirable reputation for sex education in our schools, for the best possible information given to our children in an appropriate way at an appropriate time. One of the things that has not been mentioned is how changed our family situation is, not only in Alaska, but in the country. The idea that we are talking about a family of a mother and a father and children sitting around the table and talking about sex education is not exactly what appears to be the case. Children are not going to receive the information that they need if they don't have sex education in the schools. And the statistics show that a marked betterment of situations that none of us like to think about in terms of abortion. Nobody wants to have an abortion. We want to keep that from being something that appears to be necessary. I hope that you'll reconsider this, let this be taken care of at the local level, and do what you can to help young people in our state have a better understanding of what these changes in their lives, as Senator McGuire said earlier, really mean to them and how they can control them, and not just learn about sex education from other ignorant sources than themselves.
We're going to have to cut you off there. You've got to pass 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Well, go back up the list to Ms. Smith and then Kenny Linden.
Okay. My name is Robin Smith, and thank you for allowing me to testify today, and I do want to say that I am a constituent of Senator McGuire's.
Hi, Rob.
Parental support for school-based sex education is overwhelmingly positive. Over the past 20 years, in survey after survey, local, state, or national, 80 to 85% of parents indicate that they want their children to receive comprehensive, medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education. Parents see such courses and content as supplementing, not supplanting, their discussions at home. They say that their children need both to be taught about delaying the onset of intimate sexual relationships until they are, they say that their children need both to be taught about delaying the onset of intimate sexual relationships until they are mature and responsible, and also giving the information and skills they need to use contraception when they do choose to become sexually active. It's not a matter of either or, but both. Planned Parenthood helps fill an important gap left by the state's inaction to ensure students have the information they need to make educated decisions about relationships and sex. The state does not have a comprehensive sex education curricula that they offer or even offer to the schools, let alone require. Until Alaska steps up and provides this comprehensive, medically accurate sex health education to all students, communities will rely on outside educators to provide that information. One of the education programs that Planned Parenthood offers is a workshop for parents. This program encourages parents to pass on their values to their children, but also to become more comfortable with engaging children on sexual issues. I encourage you to look at this curricula and others we provide.
All right, we're going to have to stop you there. We've got over 2 minutes, and we've got to keep flowing through.
Well, the one last thing I wanted to say.
That was the last thing. Please mute this, please. Go ahead and bring us back on. Are we back on? We really have to respect this. We're going to hold everybody to the 2 minutes, otherwise we're going to not get to other folks. So next we have Kenny Linden, followed by Jared McClure.
My name is Kenny Pasenik Linden, and I am a constituent of you, Senator Stoltz. I was born and raised in Palmer and currently own a home with my husband around the corner from the elementary school I attended. Both of my parents and my siblings and I attended Palmer Public Schools. I had a fantastic public education. I graduated from Palmer High with an international baccalaureate diploma and served as a student representative on the MATSU school board. The only glaring omission to my education was sexual health. My peers and I would have greatly benefited from comprehensive, medically accurate reproductive health education. I was sexually assaulted when I was 15. Afterwards, I was unaware of the resources available to me as a student to protect my health and to speak up in support of healthy relationships and consent. Because of my experience, I was delighted to hear that professionally trained health educators were invited into schools to teach comprehensive and medically accurate sex ed. I hope that this vital service will prevent others from experiencing the sexual trauma that I experienced, but because of Senate Bill 89, I am fearful that this education is in danger. Although I have fabulous and engaged parents, asking them to opt in for sex ed may have prevented my brothers and I from receiving any health information. Between two households and three children, keeping track of permission slips was chaos. This bill will be adding an undue burden on parents and educators. Please oppose Senate Bill 89. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pasenik, sir. That's a well-known, proud name in Palmer. Mr. McClure and then Ms. Williams, Deborah Williams.
For the record, my name is Jared McClure, and I'm representing myself. With ongoing sex education programs, let me start that over again. How much longer must we remain the top state for STDs in the country? Why do we have the most STDs up here? Planned Parenthood's agenda is to market sex to vulnerable and impressionable children and trick them into behaving irresponsibly so that they can sell them an abortion later, the real moneymaker. Do you want STDs, illegitimate, and underage pregnancy rates to go down? Simply end the practice of allowing these perverse abortionists free rein to market sex and abortions in our schools and make a killing doing the abortions later. I urge the legislature to prohibit Planned Parenthood from pushing their pornographic propaganda into our public schools. I urge you to pass SB 89. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McClure. And we think we have more in Anchorage, but we'll stop here with Deborah Williams and go to another site. Deborah Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Deborah Williams. I oppose Senate Bill 89 because it will cost more money and undermine the authority of local school districts. In other words, it will undermine local control. I would urge you to take a hard look at the provisions. For example, 1403.16a3 is the opt-in provision. it states that schools, teachers, must provide parents notification not less than 2 weeks, but not more than 6 weeks before any activity, class, etc., involving sexual health education. The cost of this notification, the burden on teachers of this notification, the problem with permission slips falling through the crack is great. We cannot afford in our fiscal crisis situation to impose new costs, new burdens on our teachers, on our parents, and on our students, and also particularly on our fiscal constraints. Right now, there is an opt-out provision. That is working well. There is no testimony whatsoever that our current system is not working well with respect to opt-outs. Please do not provide new costly burdens on our school districts, on our teachers, on our parents, and on others for no evidentiary reason. I also am opposed to 1403.83, which prohibits a school district from contracting with an abortion services provider. I object to it for all the reasons Senator Wolakowski mentioned. It is vague, arguably unconstitutional, and very problematic. But mostly, it undermines the authority of the local school districts. It undermines local control. I do not believe that this committee really wants to be part of undermining local school districts and local control, again, for no evidentiary reasons. We know that sexual health education saves dollars. This will undermine our ability to save those dollars. And again, we're in a fiscal crisis. We cannot afford to spend more money where we don't have more money. And finally, we just need to take a deep breath and realize that I am aware of the evidence-based, the true evidence-based programming that is provided in the schools today on sexual health education. They matter. They are outstanding. They're evidence-based. Please let school districts be the authority on whether they want to continue using those, not juvenile. You are about local control. You're about saving money. Let's oppose this bill because it violates those fundamental principles. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Next, we have Michael Pauley. Mr. Pauley, we'll wait for you to get unmuted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Am I coming through okay?
Loud and clear, sir.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Michael Pauley. I'm representing Alaska Family Action, the legislative advocacy arm of the Alaska Family Council. Our organization strongly supports passage of Senate Bill 89, and I think the most important words in this entire bill are found right in the title, an act relating to a parent's right to direct the education of a child. Our view is that the right of parents to direct the education of their child is inherent. Government doesn't give parents that right any more than government gives us children. However, government does have an important role in helping to protect and advance this inherent right. Senate Bill 89 is such a measure. It merely requires local school boards to adopt policies that ensure parental rights are protected in a number of different contexts. There has been a lot of noise surrounding one component of Senate Bill 89, which is the section that disallows abortion service providers from teaching in the schools. That opposition is unfortunate because the rationale for this is quite simple. If you're a business that makes money by doing abortions, then we're not going to give you a free, taxpayer-funded venue for promoting your services or your brand in front of impressionable young people. Abortion is legal, we all know that, but so are other things like cigarettes. We wouldn't dream of allowing tobacco companies into our schools. Religion is legal, too. But do you think that a local Catholic church or a Mormon church would ever get invited into a local school to teach a sex education class? That notion is laughable. Yet Planned Parenthood, a highly political and ideological organization, acts as if they're entitled to be peddling their services to our children in the schools that we pay for. There is nothing in Senate Bill 89 that inhibits public schools from offering sex education classes, provided they have the consent of parents and provided they're not farming out the task of sex education to people who sell abortions on the side. Please support Senate Bill 89 and protect the rights of parents to control their children's education. Thank you. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Pauley. Next, we have one person, I believe, Sasha Pettit. Is she the person that Senator Dunleavy specifically invited for some detail? We'll give her just a few more minutes if necessary. If Ms. Pettit is available?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm Sasha Pettit, and as I stated before, I work for the Matthewburg School District. I am a teacher and also a parent, and I support this bill. This year, I've had the opportunity to help with administering the new testing, and I've seen how it is being pushed by the school districts in order to reach the mandated 95% participation. I have repeatedly heard that if too many parents opt out of the surveys or the ANPs this year, that we will not have an accurate representation of data. But I would venture to say that parents opting out should be an indicator of a revision or a need that needs to be addressed. Parental choice is an integral part of the checks and balances that are needed in the education system. Year after year, the students in my classroom who meet and exceed the standards of not only my classroom, but as well as the statewide testing, have had very involved parents. And I feel that it would be a disservice to take away their choices or not have them have choices on these matters. On another note, this bill is setting the parameters of safety for our children. It is requiring vetted materials for sex education, which is already a requirement in standard subjects. It's providing a 2-week advance notice opportunities for parents to look at the materials and then allowing their children to opt out. As a teacher, I know that not all parents are involved with their children. Not all parents are going to look over their homework nightly or take time to look over sex ed curriculum. But there are parents who do take a very active role, and I feel that this bill is protecting them and not steamrolling them in with a large group of people for an agenda. As a teacher, I don't feel that notifications or permission slips are a burden. I've managed permission slips for field trips for over 300 kids 2 to 3 times a year as a middle school teacher for many years. And the cost of a ream of paper, a paper has about 500 pages a ream, and I think that can easily be fitted into the budget without busting it. Thank you.
Well, so we didn't need extra time. You actually were under, so. Well, thank you for your succinct testimony.
I do believe that just very highly in the role of parents and teachers and districts working together, I think that that's the only way you can get a well-rounded student.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Pettit. We have several people in Sitka. This sheet has 2 people on, Elena Gustafson and then Libby Stortz.
Hello, my name is Elena Gustafson. I'm speaking from Sitka. I oppose SB 89 wholeheartedly. Alaska's devastatingly high rates of child sexual abuse. We're 6 times the national average. We're the highest in the country for teen dating violence. Our teen pregnancy rates are higher than the national average, and we have higher rates of certain STDs than anywhere in the state. I'm not proud of any of these facts. And what we know works to reduce these is comprehensive sex education, which is currently being taught in a large percentage of the schools in our states. Every parent already has the right to be involved in their child's education. They should be able to ask questions about lessons, voice concerns to school administrators, remove their children from the classroom if they believe the curriculum runs counter to their best interests. The current system already provides for this. I do not believe it is an undue burden on parents to take advantage of the rights that they already have to object and withdraw their child from tests or any activity. It is an undue burden on the most vulnerable in our state to put these opt-in clauses, specifically Clause 3 in the working draft, on our children who are experiencing abuse and neglect. This is requiring you would send a permission slip home to a family where a child is already being abused and ask that parent's permission for that child to receive what may be the only safety resources they've ever had. I've worked with children who, after my safety presentations in elementary schools, had the language to speak up and get the safety they deserve. It is so difficult for me to think that these children, because if this bill went into effect, that these children might be denied that education those critical safety lessons they need and would have been stuck in that abusive family for years to come. Excuse me. I'm also against the amendment banning abortion service providers or their employers or volunteers from providing instruction in schools. I believe school districts should be the one to decide who is most qualified to provide this information. If someone with a master's in public health who has experience teaching sex education nationally, who has done their research and thesis on this, is available to teach this education, I think they should be, the school district should be allowed to decide who is most qualified.
Okay, right we're going to have to stop there. You're almost at 3 minutes, so.
Okay, I apologize.
No, that's okay. We didn't. I hate to stop people mid-sentence, but thank you, Ms. Gustafson. I think we.
Thank you.
Next, Libby Stortz, also in Sitka.
My name is Libby Stortz from Sitka. I oppose SB 89. I agree with those testifying before me in opposition. During adolescence, most teens explore their sexuality through behavior. Planned Parenthood, against whom this bill is focused, has provided evidence-based, accurate, neutral sex education for almost 100 years in the United States. This is about the health and safety of teens. Comprehensive sex ed helps thousands of teens who, with or without parental consent, will do what comes naturally. They need this information with or without parental consent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stortz. Next, we're going to go to North Pole, Barbara Haney. Ms. Haney, are you online?
No,
I'm
here.
Oh, we're not going to go to North Pole. We're going to go right in the room here.
Hi, my name is Barbara Haney. Yes, I live in North Pole, Alaska most of the time. Sometimes I'm in other places. I travel a little bit around the state. I support SB 89 wholeheartedly. I understand there's a lot of people who are upset about the Planned Parenthood or abortion provider provision. This bill in no way blocks sex education, nor was it ever intended to do that. And as far as I know, in my survey of the schools in the state of Alaska, sex education is taught by a member of the bargaining unit. It's not taught by Planned Parenthood. So I'm not sure what this whole opposition
is. Your senator heard you were testifying. He ran back here.
He must have. Anyway, I really support this. In many districts in the state, they do have parental right of refusal or opt-out, whatever language you like to use. In other parts of the state, it's not so uniform. In some areas or some schools, they're really good at letting you opt out of sexual education units, but not testing. Other places, they're really good at letting you opt out of testing, but not so much sex education. I'm not quite sure how the two ended up being linked together, except the overriding principle here is that whatever it is, the parent should have the right to say, no, thank you. And that's all this bill is about. It's about recognizing the right of a parent to direct control of their children's education, which is already currently a right. And we just want local school boards to uniformly have that policy in place across the state. And that's all. That's why I support it.
Thank you. I didn't recognize you. I've been on the other end of a lot of teleconferences and meetings, and I might have gotten a few pieces of mail from you.
You might have. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then, but this is a closing statement. There are a lot of organizations that are involved in teaching sex education. Planned Parenthood is by no means the only one. But as far as I know, this bill does not block them from doing anything. No abortions are blocked. No classes are blocked. These are taught by members of the bargaining unit. And there are actually people in the bargaining unit who support this bill, by the way. So.
One of your, I think I've read you have some education credentials.
I have a PhD from the University of Notre Dame in the field of economics. I usually do numbers. I'm kind of a numbers wonk, but this has been an issue that's very dear to my heart because of some things that happened when I was raising my own children. I've raised several children in the state of Alaska. I've had them in public school. I've had them in homeschool. I've had them in publicly funded homeschool. I've been an education activist for a long time. I was involved in the 99 BSA fight and all that good stuff.
I think I violated our time rule there. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next, we'll go back to the Matt Sue. We have Amy Walker followed by Christopher Kirka.
Hi,
is Amy Walker. I'm a wife, mother, and grandmother representing myself and my family. Schools should be a safe place for our kids where they can feel protected in them. And I'm not talking just about protection from crazy people with guns or weapons. I'm talking about protection from propaganda and indoctrination. I want to say a big thank you to Senator Dunleavy for his sponsorship of the amendment to SB 89 that would keep Planned Parenthood out of our schools. Planned Parenthood is one of the most evil organizations in America, and their goal is to make money, millions and millions of dollars, corrupting, endangering, and indoctrinating our kids with premarital sex, homosexuality, anti-family, and anti-life propaganda. Planned Parenthood receives millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money that they use to encourage teens and even young children to engage in immoral and dangerous sexual activities to get them hooked on sex. Then Planned Parenthood indoctrinates children and teens through their various websites, public school classes, parties, parades, and fairs, and then they are able to use these opportunities to promote promiscuity in the guise of offering counseling, sex toys, contraceptions, medical services, and sexual transmitted diseases. I was sickened when I watched the documentary video about the truth of Planned Parenthood activities, and its graphic and very offensively shows where they are. I challenge every member of the legislature to go to AlaskaRightToLife.org and watch the 6-minute video, and then vote in support of Dunleavy's bill, Senate Bill 89, to protect our children. Thank you.
Right on the mark on time. Thank you, Ms. Walker, for hanging around to testify. Next, we'll go to Mr. Kirka.
Hi, my name is Christopher Kirka. I am the executive director of Alaska Right to Life, and I represent Alaska Right to Life as well as myself and my family. I currently hail from Senator Stoltz's district over in Chugiak. I heard earlier in the testimony somebody say that Planned Parenthood has been doing an excellent job of teaching sex education for 100 years. I was going to say, if they have and their goal is to prevent STDs, and they really suck at it, because there's only been this extraordinary rise in STDs in recent years. Planned Parenthood actually promotes STDs by way of promoting promiscuity. If you go to our website that Amy mentioned just a minute ago, watch that 6-minute video produced by Life American Life League, they exhibit the material that Planned Parenthood uses in the schools. And it's not science. It's not scientific material. It's material for the purpose of promoting promiscuity. This bill does not prohibit or stop sex education. This bill is about stopping organizations like Planned Parenthood who have an agenda to promote promiscuity and abortion. And so we are in strong support of SB 89. Planned Parenthood is one of the nation's largest abortion chains, and it is not appropriate for them to be teaching in schools with their propaganda. I would encourage the committee to vote for SB 89.
Thank you, Mr. Kirka. And Senator Coghill is going to take over for a couple of minutes here.
All right, thank you.
And I see, before we go, health and social, I didn't see behind the camera, we have the commissioner and the deputy commissioner. We didn't have Senator Kelly available and his proposed CES here. I apologize, I didn't see you. I didn't mean to have you, unless you're going to follow and testify on this bill. We're not going to get to 74 today. And I really couldn't see you behind the camera there. So if you have other things to do, like, thank you. My apologies.
We'll go to Sitka, the Sitka LIO. We have Ed Gray. We'll keep you to 2 minutes, Ed, and then Susan Jensen. So, Ed, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 89. Listening to some of the testimony, I would like to say that we've had Planned Parenthood in our school district down here, and that has not worked well for us. And in fact, the school district, in my opinion, has not acted responsibly. And in the matter of such things as collecting all our students' information email addresses, turning that over to the abortion industry so that students could be spammed by the abortion industry in the privacy of their own homes, and go to material that told them to examine state law and see if they had to tell their parents. They had specifically and directly tried to intervene between me and my children. It's completely common sense to eliminate Planned Parenthood. I mean, they simply have an agenda that is not cohesive with the agenda that parents have sending their kids to school. I mean, why would we put the one entity that has an interest in our children making bad decisions in our schools? Parental rights. We have battled the school district this year like no other. I've had kids in our school district for 11 or 12 years. This year it has become a battleground. I mean, our school district has taken positions against us for trying to make decisions for our children, to the extent of banning administrators from talking to us, threatening us with criminal action, lawsuits, and an enormous amount of things. It's become a battleground, and unless our rights are codified, we're just going to have to go independent. We're just not going to be able to work with the school district anymore. Okay, thank you, and please support Senate Bill 89. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. We'll go now to Susan Jensen.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Susan Jensen from Sitka. As a former public school teacher, I know the privilege of teaching other people's children, and I also strongly respect the right of parents to determine what's best for their children. As a parent, I know that parents are legally responsible for their children and should therefore have the final say over what their children participate in and what they're taught. Ultimately, it's the parents who are responsible for their children and not the school district or teachers. Parents should have the right to withdraw their students from any testing or course curriculum they deem inappropriate. As a former business owner, it baffles me why abortion providers are allowed access to public school students. Planned Parenthood and other similar organizations are welcomed into the schools, but they do more than educate. They also provide abortions. This is clever marketing, silently endorsed by school districts, and allows abortion providers to make money from the students. Former abortion clinic director Carol Everett had stated that we had a whole plan that sold abortions, and it was called sex education. Break down their natural modesty, separate them from their parents and their values, and become the sex expert in their lives, so they turn to us. Who does the young girl who's pregnant call when she's pregnant? She calls us. We're the experts. Abby Johnson, a woman who worked at Planned Parenthood as a way to help young women, resigned her position as clinic manager because she was surprised to learn that Planned Parenthood's primary motive was financial. To provide abortions was very lucrative for them. As a former business owner, I ask, are we going to invite car dealers into the schools to provide driver's ed? Some would describe that as a conflict of interest. And I also am going to submit written testimony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate your time, and Ed as well. So we'll go to Yvonne Cordon and Lisa Melnick. Yvonne?
Yes, dear Chairman and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee, I am for SB 89 because it does protect the inherent right of parents to direct the education of their children. It helps ensure the perpetuation of that right by requiring the local school boards to adopt policies recognizing that authority. I also like it because it requires the school district to obtain the signed consent of parents, thus safeguarding the parents' right to be informed and stay informed. It allows it requires a 2-week notice, which gives the parent time to research and to plan ahead for their child. SB 89 also, by disallowing abortion service providers to offer course material or teach sex education programs in our public school is protecting our children, as mentioned before, from influence and social pressure from any entity who has a conflict of interest due to the potential financial gain if their instruction leads to the subsequent purchasing of their services. Finally, SB 89 does not really add additional burden to the school district. The school district has already been informing parents and obtaining signed parental consent for any number of events, including even the sex education class, which was taught by an abortion provider in our local Sitka school district this past fall. So, again, please support SB 89, and thank you for the time to testify.
Thank you, Yvonne. We'll go next to Lisa and then Sarah Ferency.
I'm sorry she had to leave.
Is Sarah Ferency there?
She had to leave.
And Lisa as well?
I'm here.
Okay. Lisa, you're up.
Hi, my name's... Oh, sorry. My name's Lisa Melnick. I'm a mom raising six kids in the Alaska Public School District. Five of them are currently attending school here. Two of them are in middle school. I support Bill 89 being passed to keep abortion providers out of the schools. Abortion providers such as Planned Parenthood sell a product. The product is abortion. I don't want my girls learning about health and their bodies from an organization that sells a product that I am fundamentally against. Teaching of health can be done by unbiased teachers that represent true health education, not product endorsement. By Planned Parenthood being in school, the kids begin to identify with Planned Parenthood as a valid authority on health matters. I don't approve of the information being provided by that authority. The agenda that they're selling is abortion. Like the very first woman who testified today, I don't want the brand of Planned Parenthood to be where my kids turn. Planned Parenthood sells a product, and I don't want that product sold at my kids' school. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Lisa. At this point, we will go back to the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. We have Joni Clary and Judy Miller. Are you available? Joni?
Yes. This is Joni Clary. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Joni Clary, and I have lived in South Anchorage for over 30 years, and currently I am a constituent in Senator Myers' district. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today about Senate Bill 89 and to register my opposition to it. It is being promoted as a bill that will protect parents' rights. I'm a parent, and I support parents having a say in their children's education, especially as regards to sexuality. But this bill targets one of the most qualified providers of comprehensive, medically accurate, age-appropriate sexual education. I agree with the comments of some of the other speakers who were opposed to this bill. Parents who want to and are able to teach their children about sex are never prevented from doing that. I work in the field of child protection as an assistant to a guardian ad litem. I see children in the foster care system who get no other information in their home. Their parents are certainly not doing this. They're not available to them for a variety of reasons, usually drugs, alcohol, mental health problems, and they're just not doing their jobs. The children who are in foster care aren't getting any other information besides what they get at school. There are currently, I think, 4,000 children in Alaska who are in the system. I don't know of how many are of the age to receive the health education in the schools, but I do see countless children, teens of this system who are growing up to have children of their own. They didn't get a sufficient education to be able to prevent that or to be able to make the proper decisions so that they could prevent it themselves. It would be no surprise to you that I'm also a supporter of Planned Parenthood. I have found... And I have volunteered there. I have found every single person that I have met through that organization to be very dedicated to women's health and to young people's health and to their sexual health, to be making good, healthy choices for their own selves. I object to some of the characterizations that I've heard today. Finally, if part of this, of the intent of this bill is to prevent abortion, then I feel it's misguided. The best way to prevent abortion is to provide comprehensive, medically accurate information to our youth in every possible way that we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Joni. And we'll go to Judy Miller, and then I'll turn it back over to the chairman.
Hi, this is Judy Miller. Thank you for the opportunity to testify for myself and my family. I'm a constituent of Senator Wilikowski's here in Anchorage. I very much respect the intent of the bill to support parental involvement in schools, but I feel this bill is damaging to students' ability to gain access to vetted, objective, medically accurate sexual health information as provided by Planned Parenthood. My understanding is opt-out already exists. Requiring opt-in for sex education is counterproductive and a huge administrative burden for the schools. Our youth are being inundated with sex messages from television, movies, social media, and computer games. This is what makes it that much more important that they are receiving unbiased, medically accurate sexual health information. No other organization in the U.S. does more to prevent unintended pregnancies than Planned Parenthood. In preventing these pregnancies, Planned Parenthood prevents the need for more abortions. Planned Parenthood does provide abortions because they believe that it is a woman's right to choose whether or not to carry a pregnancy to term. No one should make that decision for her. I support Planned Parenthood and want them to be available to students in the schools with their medically unbiased information. And I also would like to reiterate the comments that were made earlier concerning local control of this issue, and I do believe that this committee is interested in supporting that sort of thing. So I would strongly encourage you to not pass SB 89. Thank you for the time to listen to my comments.
Thank you, Judy. Now we'll go to the chairman of the committee and let him take over from there.
We'll go back to the Anchorage LIO, Xenia Peterson.
Chair and the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Jenny Peterson, and I live in Senate District H in Anchorage. I'm currently a student at the University of Alaska Anchorage, where I'm studying social work and public health. At UAA, I am also the president of the chapter VOX, which stands for Voices for Planned Parenthood. As a club, we are advocates for comprehensive and medically accurate sexual education, as well as teaching healthy sexuality and consent. It is a scary thing when talking to a peer at the university level and them not understanding the basic concepts of how their body works. It brings up the point that in order for someone to be fully ready when they enter college, surely they know basic anatomy and what STDs are. In order to make sure that our youth are ready when they leave high school, it is important to teach them and make sure that they have access to education and resources that they need. This issue affects not only the vulnerable populations like teenagers and young adults, but it is also costing the state money. In 2013, Alaska spent an estimated $1.2 million in treating preventable STIs, costing the state money, which could have been used for comprehensive sexual education. With comprehensive sexual education, the rates of STIs would decrease among teens and young adults. It can also help in delaying initiation of sexual activity, as well as increase the use of contraception. I urge you to support comprehensive sexual education in schools in Alaska and oppose SB 89 so that they can help decrease high STI rates and make sure that our state is healthy as well as educated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we'll go to the MATSU, Ms. McDaniel.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Barbara McDaniel. I reside in District D. I am here to express my personal opposition to SB 89 because it promotes ignorance, and I am a firm believer in accurate, fact-based education delivered in a professional and appropriate manner in all subjects, including and especially sexual health education. I'm a lifelong Alaskan parent, and I'm happy Planned Parenthood is providing sexual health education for more than 1.5 million youth every year nationally. It's great that caring school and community agencies take responsibility for our children's health and safety by seeking and employing Planned Parenthood's reputable, reliable, professional, and thoroughly vetted sexual health education curriculum for their students. Alaska's infamous sexual health and safety statistics prove Alaska youth do not need any more ignorance. What youth do need is for us to do our duty and, while allowing opt-outs, allow professional community sexual health educators to teach students in public schools how to be safe and healthy and avoid STDs, unintended pregnancies, alcohol and drug use during pregnancy, sexual abuse and assault, violent relationships, and other unfortunate outcomes. SB 89 is an unnecessary, harmful bill. Responsible legislators will oppose it.
Thank you, Ms. McDaniel. Now we'll come to the room here in Juneau again. We have Allison Curry from Planned Parenthood in the Northwest.
Thank you. My name is Allison Curry. I'm staff with Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest and current resident of Juneau. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify today. Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Alaska operates 4 health centers across the state: Juneau, Anchorage, Soldotna, and Fairbanks. In 2013, we served about 13,000 patients. The vast majority of our patients come to us for non-judgmental quality care, namely birth control and family planning, STI testing and treatment, well-known exams, which is cervical cancer screenings and breast health checks, and even prenatal care. Planned Parenthood has also been a trusted provider of comprehensive sexual health education in Alaska for over 20 years and throughout the country for nearly 100. The collaborative work between school districts and Planned Parenthood is an important partnership that benefits students and empowers them to make safe and healthy decisions about their sexual health. Parental involvement is a vital part of this collaborative effort. Through our programs, Planned Parenthood reinforces communication between parents and their children, and we provide the tools necessary to support parents in communicating about sexuality and sexual health with their children. Planned Parenthood does work closely with some schools. We are not in every school. We work closely with some schools, community organizations, and other social service agencies and communities across the state, including Fairbanks, Juneau, the Kenai Peninsula, and Mat-Su Valley. Our curriculum is tailored for each community, and it should be up to the schools to decide what curriculum comes into their classrooms. When invited in, we tailor our curriculum on prevention, per a teacher's request, and all of our curriculum is vetted for medical accuracy. By targeting providers of a safe and legal service who are also trained sexual educators, we're cutting Alaskan students off from the information and education they need to stay healthy and safe. So instead of creating more barriers to education, we should be working together to ensure that our youth have the resources and information they need to lead healthy and safe, or to lead healthy and productive lives. And Senate Bill 89 does the opposite.
Thank you, Thank you. I'm sorry, we have to truncate. Deanna Hobbs, also here in Juneau, followed by Kalia Collum. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Deanna Hobbs. I'm 17 and Thunder Mountain Junior. I'm testifying today in opposition to Senate Bill 89 because of the provision that bans abortion service providers from schools. This will directly affect me in the work I do as a volunteer peer educator through Juneau Teen Council, sponsored by Planned Parenthood. There's a common misconception that Planned Parenthood educators are marketing abortion services to youth in school presentations, and I'm here to tell you that that's simply not true. Teen Council is a peer-led sexual health education program created over 20 years ago in Washington State by Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest, while the local Juneau Teen Council formed 3 years ago. When invited into classrooms and other learning environments, Teen Council members teach peers about healthy sexuality and healthy relationships, and impact peers through thoughtful, non-judgmental education and outreach. I have a passion for peer education because I have seen the impact of healthy sexuality being taught in schools. I have left classrooms after presenting and felt like I did something great for those students. There are bold, eager peer educators and learners who need the support of these organizations that you want to ban. We need to have the ability to learn and teach. We need to help to support the thousands of children, teens, and young adults who add to our tragic and disturbingly high statistics in Alaska. Please do not ban my opportunity to further educate myself and my peers about healthy sexuality and and informed decision-making. Please do not let this valuable, successful, inclusive, and accurate program that I have given hundreds of hours to go away from schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hobbs. Next, and I hope I pronounce this near, Kalia Colum. Yeah, I'm sure you'll correct it. I'm sure. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Kaylee Colum. I'm a 16-year-old sophomore at Juno Douglas High School, and I am as well a member of Juno Teen Council. Since the beginning of the 2014 to 2015 school year, seven Juno Teen Council members have collectively contributed over 900 hours, volunteer hours, toward learning about sexuality and developing our peer education skills. Also among these volunteer hours are hours that we've spent going into classrooms and educating, when invited, educating students about healthy, not necessarily healthy sexuality, but growing up in their bodies and all that good stuff. And oftentimes we're invited by health teachers, actually, because they don't have all of the information that they might need either. So there's that. Four teen council members recently received the prestigious statewide Spirit of Youth Award for service to peers for creating a high-quality teen-made video about healthy relationships, healthy sexuality, and nonviolence. Teen Council meets weekly for two-hour training meetings and to learn in-depth about a variety of topics including abstinence and unintended pregnancy prevention, sexually transmitted infection prevention, healthy relationships, consent, and teen dating violence. In addition to these topics, we also learn about things like the side effects of abusing drugs and alcohol, media literacy, social justice issues, and much more. As you can see, our time is well spent talking about things aside from abortion. When invited to a classroom, we tailor our curriculum to the teacher's request and provide engaging and interactive presentations that create meaningful connections with our peers. I've left classrooms and gotten anonymous notes saying how much that they appreciate our time coming in and talking to them from many different kids. I've received drawings from little middle school girls looking up to me saying how much they appreciate the fact that I came in and helped them learn about something that they didn't know. The power of peer education is so important because we as adolescents listen to each other much more often and with much more inherent respect than when we listen to adults. The information is learned with more detail, and we can spread more information in this way. And that's why it's really effective that we as Juno Teen Council members are going in and teaching instead of just the health teachers.
And that's, we need you to wrap up here.
Okay, I will. Senate Bill 89 takes decision-making power away from local school districts and creates a barrier for students to receive healthy sexuality education. The youth are the ones affected by this bill, and soon we will be adults. We want to be well-informed, and we want to be well-educated. We want progression, and in my opinion, this bill is not progression. Thank you.
I just have one quick question. Is it Teen Council C-O-U-N-C-I-L or S-S-E-L? I was just trying to have the work for you. See, okay. That clears up some things.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. Ms. Robertson, then followed by Ms. Schrader. Robertson, I'm sorry. Robertson. She left, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, you were Ms. Schrader, then Mr. Wooten, Ms. Bloom, and then you, Karen.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. My name is Susan Schrader, and I live in Juneau. I'm opposed to Senate Bill 89. Let me ask you two questions. How likely is a parent who's abusing a child to proactively, waiting till the chairman is ready.
I keep talking. Okay. I can multitask. Please.
Very good. Thank you. How likely is a parent who is abusing a child to proactively opt in to have that child receive sex education that might prevent that abuse? We had a testifier at a previous committee say that she received an anonymous note from a youngster asking, is it okay for my stepfather to have sex with me? How likely do you think that stepfather is to sign, to opt in proactively and sign a permission slip to allow that child to receive sex education? Sure, Mr. Higgins.
Huggins,
pardon me, very sorry. Mr. Huggins and his wife, as you mentioned earlier, can handily teach their children sex education. Congratulations. I just don't think a lot of parents are doing that, because if they were, we wouldn't have the problem with STDs in this state that we do. You've heard those statistics, and do you really believe that the approach in this bill is the best way to lower the rate of these infections among our youth? There are many ways that currently exist for parents to opt out of any class or activity that they do not agree with in a school district. This bill, therefore, is unnecessary and represents a misguided effort to put a specific ideology of a few ahead of the health of Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schrader. Mr. Whitten, and then Ms. Bloom.
Morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Norm Wooten. I'm with the Association of Alaska School Boards, and I'm here this morning to only look at one small part of this bill, Section 3 of the bill. The Association of Alaska School Boards has been involved in Alaska ICE, the Commission Initiative for Community Engagement, for about 20 years now. We've tried to connect schools to their communities, to connect communities to their schools. As part of that, we provide for the administering of the what we call the SCCS, the School Climate and Connectedness Survey. This is a survey that asks students simply about their perceptions of events and things that are going on around them. It's not about their personal behaviors, and it's not about things that are going on in their family. We respect also the right of families and the personal behavior of students, and we do not delve into those areas. We have this test. We used consultants to help us construct this test to intentionally avoid those issues. We were intentional in creating a survey that protected both family and personal information. The survey is used by school districts to determine destructive activities such as bullying that may exist in their schools, and to take actions to create a safer climate within the schools. It's based on the 40 assets model. That the more assets that a student possesses, the more likely they are to succeed, both in school and out of school. We're about building good citizens through this initiative. SB 89 will make it very difficult to obtain consent from folks to get valid data to provide to school districts. My only suggestion is, at least in this area, that the bill goes a little too far, and I suggest that you take a look at that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Right on 2 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Very briefly.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Or maybe you can provide it in writing, but what sorts of questions are being asked, and why it's important? And if you maybe can get that in writing to us, that'd be great. Or if you can answer it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, through the chair, we will provide that information to the chair for distribution to the committee,
and
certainly.
We'll invite any parents who also want to give us any written testimony on what questions they ask that they might object to.
Sure, we will provide that to you, Mr. Chair.
But from the parents? No, you can provide your answer.
That's
a general invitation to the sponsor and their parents to
certainly
also put on the record through testimony or otherwise. So thank you, Mr. Wooten. Ms. Bloom, and then Ms. Robinson.
Ms. Bloom had to leave, so.
You did? Welcome.
Good morning.
You're no rookie here.
How are you doing today?
Very good.
Members of the committee, I really appreciate your time. For the record, my name is Karen Robinson, and I'm here speaking on behalf of the Alaska Women's Lobby today. Our mission is to defend and advance the rights and needs of women and children and families. We oppose Senate Bill 89. As legislators, you have spent many hours on bills about school choice, charter schools, and federal overreach. We believe this bill is an example of state overreach. Nothing is more local than your children and grandchildren's schools. Communities elect school boards that hires a superintendent. Here in Juneau, each school has a parent council that hires the principals. We are so locally driven, we have one middle school that bans all student activity travel and another that allows it. We believe it should be up to local schools to decide who they invite, whether it's the police for a DARE programs, or healthcare providers to talk about STIs or obesity, are advocates to talk about child abuse, dating violence, and sexual assault. We also believe that putting the burden on school districts to ask parents to opt in on almost everything is costly and a waste. Plus, it's just not realistic. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, we found the slip in the bottom of the backpack. And anyone who has had kids going through the systems or grandkids, I have a 13-year-old grandson right now going through the system, and have had many of his friends hanging out the house and have heard this from them. We have a system that's not broken. Parents already have the authority to approve their children's participation in school activities. We believe that schools and parents working together should decide who can come into their schools. I'm confident that they'll make good decisions. Thanks for your time. Let's the communities work this out. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ms. Robinson. Next, we'll go. Is there anybody else here in Juneau? Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Melissa Engel, and I am testifying against SB 89. SB 89 is masquerading as a parental rights bill and has dangerous consequences that put the health and future of our youth at risk by limiting access to necessary resources and information regarding reproductive and sexual health. I respect the parental right to decide what is appropriate for that parent's child in education and for them to act accordingly. However, I want to ensure that young people have access to comprehensive, medically accurate sex education so that they have the tools and knowledge they need to use their voices to make healthy decisions for themselves. The place where they can most readily get that information is their school. I am a youth pastor for 5 churches in Juneau, and I have been a supporter of and volunteer with Planned Parenthood for 4 years. Planned Parenthood has been an educator in Alaska for over 20 years, invited into schools to provide tailored curriculum according to the communicated needs of the community, teacher, school, and parents. In fall 2013, I invited the Planned Parenthood Teen Council in Juneau to present curriculum on healthy relationships to the cooperative youth group of young people grades 6 through 12 that I pastor. And with help from their advisor, the Teen Council presented on healthy relationships to their peers, asking questions like, what does a healthy relationship look like? And teaching about red flags in dating relationships and friendships. This model of peer education on healthy relationships was effective in honoring all of the young people present as capable of having values, trusting those values, and living by them. Whereas the state does not require accurate, reliable sex education, Planned Parenthood fills a gap in our communities and schools. I view SB 89 as a politically and ideologically motivated attack on Planned Parenthood and an endangerment to our youth and their access to education, resources, and the healthy choices of our youth. If not Planned Parenthood, then who? It makes no sense to ban schools from inviting in qualified sexual health educators like Planned Parenthood to provide and teach age-appropriate, medically accurate curriculum the community has requested and needs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Engel. Next, we'll go to Cordova, Mr. Hefner.
Good morning, Senators. My name is Peter Hefner. I'm on the Cordova School Board. I oppose Senate Bill 89. What has not been talked about very much to this point is Section 1, Item 1, the ability of parents to opt out of standardized-based assessments or tests required by the states. We've all been asked about accountability here in our district. If students are opting out of this test, by opting out the results, will they be an adequate portrayal of the total student performance? School districts have been asked to be accountable. Even our new teacher evaluation systems are including student growth. By opting out of these standardized tests, I don't feel we will see the total performance for our school districts. We should just eliminate the exams rather than giving the option of opting out. The other issue is in opting in. has been mentioned before, slips never make it home, families are busy, and you do not see adequate, when the person opts in, you don't know if it's actually, if the student has lost the paper or if the parents have misplaced it. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify, and make sure to definitely look at the standards-based assessments. Thank you very much.
I'll just say, my dad left Iowa in the 40s. I have a lot of relatives there. They told me you don't get the hogs any fatter by weighing them a lot more times, so I'm surprised to hear teachers want more testing. But usually the ones I hear from up north are against that. But Cordova is a different town. Next, we're going to go to Fairbanks. We have a representative of Planned Parenthood, Mary Kirkland-Stark.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for giving me the time to testify. I'm here to urge you to oppose SB 89, a legislation that would make it harder for Alaska youth to access the crucial sexual health and social services they need. I've lived in Fairbanks, Alaska for just about 30 years. I have two daughters, a 20 and 25-year-old. I think we can all agree on the importance of education in a person's life. Academic education for a person's financial future, and the other important education, that is sexual education. With today's culture offering an abundance of opportunity for sexual exploration, whether we want to see it or not, whether we agree with it or not, our young people need to be armed with as much knowledge about their bodies and what they can do to protect themselves from unwanted assaults, diseases, infections, and unplanned pregnancy. Whether we want to see this as a possibility for our children, for the children around us, it is a possibility, and we need to look at these things straight on. As citizens and parents of young people, we cannot wish this natural exploration away. We need to provide and make easily available the education that Planned Parenthood offers. This is the armor we can provide for our children's self-protection. The earlier individuals that have testified have given you a myriad of different reasons why, you know, this SB 89 is just really not needed. And again, you know, currently parents can opt out, making this bill a waste of time and money. And money is something that the state does not have. If parents want to be involved, if they want to make decisions about their children's education and what the education is, then they need to participate at the school board level. It's there, and get to it. Get to those meetings and get involved. We don't need this. We don't need parents. I mean, the opt-in measure. I mean, it's just a waste of time. It's a personal and religious reason why they want to be
Thank
involved.
You for your
well, it's
Thank
there.
You for your, can you mute her? She doesn't listen very well. We'll go 3 minutes. Next here in Juneau, Ms. Holtberg from the Hospital and Nursing Association. Yeah. At the Anchorage LIO, we'll go back there, Ms. Claire.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Jessica Claire, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself today. I'm a nearly lifelong Alaskan and current resident of Anchorage. My father retired from the Air Force, and when my parents were stationed in Alaska back in 1985, they decided to make Wasilla home. My three siblings and I are all products of the Mat-Su School District, and I can say that I had a great public school education and was fortunate to have very engaged parents.
However, that was not the case for many of my friends. The one incredibly important piece that was missing from my public school education was comprehensive, medically accurate sex education and information on consent, healthy relationships, and teen dating violence. With our rates of sexual assault and sexual abuse, this information was desperately needed. Alaska already falls short in providing this education. Planned Parenthood fills an important gap left by the state's inaction. And until the state steps up in providing medically accurate sexual health education to all students, communities rely on Planned Parenthood to provide that information. In these tight fiscal times, community partners like Planned Parenthood provide a vital service to our school districts. This bill is an additional burden on already strapped schools, and it is written so broadly that it could have dangerous effects in limiting students' access to sexual assault awareness and prevention. And for all of those reasons, and many of the reasons listed by testifiers before me, I urge you to oppose this bill.
Thank you very much, Ms. Clare, for waiting till we got to you. We have one more testifier signed up, Donna Klecka from Eagle River.
Hi, this is Dr. Donna Klecka. I'm a psychiatrist. I called a lot of what people have said in the past. I'm not going to reiterate. I agree with almost everything everybody said. I raised three kids on my own, and they went to the Eagle River School District, and I think they got a great education, but I can't even imagine the fact I'm having some of this education taken away. I'm very much against and opposed Senate Bill 89. I even taught at the school district a couple of years myself and found out there's so much ignorance with the children. We used to get tests sometimes saying, what do you think is true, just to see if they believe some of the myths out there, and there's a lot of myths, and having education out there I think is incredibly important, and it's going to eliminate a lot of the problems that our state has if we can get this education to the children. So just to make it short and clear, I agree with what everybody else said, and I very much oppose Senate Bill 89. I think we need to make sure our kids have access to all this information, and that's it. Thank you.
Nice to see you on your travels to Southeast recently.
Oh, who am I speaking to?
Bill Stoltz.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else out there? I know there are people out there. Is anybody out there that hasn't testified? We'll go ahead and close the public testimony, and we will bring this up tomorrow morning when the sponsor is here to engage in the questions and the interactions we'll need with him here. And I think we'll have responses to questions that Senator Wilikowski and others have testified. And so we'll set this, we'll close public testimony, set this bill aside, and apologize. We'll have another meeting in the morning that we'll adapt to folks' schedules. And we're getting to the point where we're running out of time for meetings, so we're near the end, if that's any consolation. We'll take a brief at ease, and it's our intent to bring up our last bills. We have the Senate Bill 67, the House bill passed. We'll wait to see where that goes, and we'll wait to hear from the governor's office and Department of Administration on the House companion bill to the Roth IRA bill. So with that, we'll stand briefly at ease and get ready for Senate Bill 58. Senate State Affairs come to order after the brief at ease. We have Senate Bill 58 before us. This bill, most of the work has been done in the previous Labor and Commerce Committee, and we've endeavored not to tinker with the Labor and Commerce work, and there was a technical issue, but I'll have Senator Conk, you'll move the CS. I'll object to it, and we'll discuss the bill and the technical change of the amendment at the same of the CS at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we have for our working document for the CS for Senate Bill 58, State Affairs, the 29LS0616 /P version dated 4/13. That's our working document.
And I'll object, and I'll just briefly explain why the bill's before us and why it says by request. It's an issue. Transportation has been on part of my district is the Chugaki River community. They've had a challenge with public transportation, private transportation. It's a community of 35,000 people, about 6,000-7,000 more than they have here in Juneau. We have about 200 less taxi cabs than Bethel has, and not a lot of transportation options. And this is one of the impediments on the local level is the mayor and others have said that the insurance issue has to be resolved at the state level before they can return to the debate of at the local level deciding the issue of how they deal with transportation network contractors. Mm-hmm. Some people, they're known by other names, Lyft, Uber, others. This is really an insurance bill. This is one removing one obstacle so that what Mayor Sullivan and others have said is an impediment to them even having the discussion, so we can allow the discussion to go forward on the local level. So some people will say this is an Uber bill. This is an insurance bill of which Uber and other entities have an interest in. This will enable the debate to continue. Remove an obstacle that has been stated at the local level, and it's primarily within the municipality of Anchorage at this point. It's by request by several legislators in the House and the Senate who represent a disenfranchised portion of the municipality of Anchorage known as Chugaki River. So with that,
all right,
we find the political part of it, and now the technical.
For the record, Brandon Grishinsky, staff to Senator Stoltz. Before I go into the bill, I'll just explain the brief change from the Labor and Commerce CS to the State Affairs CS.
Right.
Okay. The change occurs on page 5 of the bill. I'm sorry, section 5, page 7, line 19. It was just a minor drafting error. At the end of subsection D, it used to read that the transportation company has the duty to defend the claim. We changed that to the transportation network company insurer has the duty. It was a minor drafting error. So it's all correct now. All parties agree to it. So with that, I will...
No, the underlying aspects, the technical aspects of the bill.
Yeah. I'll move on to the sectional here. So section 1 is providing clarification for insurers regarding personal insurance policies and transportation network company insurance policies. Starting on page 2, line 3, section 2 provides new definitions for digital network, personal vehicle, prearranged ride, transportation network company, transportation network company driver, and rider. Page 4, line 8, section 3, this is providing a Workers' Compensation Act exemption for transportation network company drivers and for horse carriage operators. Section 4, this starts on page 5, line 12. It's providing new definitions as described in section 2. Section 5, starting on page 6, line 16, is adding a new chapter to Title 28, where we add three new sections. Section 010, Financial Responsibility of Transportation Network Companies, is providing the insurance requirements for transportation network companies. And it's clarifying the coverage between personal insurance and the TNC insurance. Section 015, Transportation Network Company Automobile Insurance Disclosures. It's a disclosure requirement for the transportation network company to let the drivers know that a driver's personal insurance may not cover the driver in the event of an accident, and to let them know of the insurance coverage provided by the TNC. Section 200 is also providing new definitions similar to the ones that are in Section 2 of the bill. Section 6, it's an applicability clause for Sections 3 and 4. Section 7 is a retroactivity clause for Sections 3, 4, and 6. Section 8 is an effective date for Section 5, and Section 9 of the bill is an immediate effective date for all sections excluding Section 8. With that, that concludes my overview.
I'll remove my objection to adopting the product primarily of the Labor and Commerce Committee with the technical. Is there any other objection? I don't have folks ready to testify that have signed up, but I want to let members know we have Ms. Erickson from Department of Administration, Division of Motor Vehicles, Kimberly Rogers, I assume a Deputy Attorney General at the Department of Law, Marty Hester here in Juneau from the Division of Insurance, and Mr. Monagle from the Workers' Comp Division from, I believe, trying to remember, Division of Insurance is in Commerce. I think Workers' Comp is in Labor, if I remember correctly. If anybody has questions on the bill for any of these people, they have made themselves available either in the room or by telephone from their offices. Senator Wilikowski.
I'd like to hear from Workers' Compensation whether or not they support this bill.
Okay. Mr. Monagle, are you in the room or online? Well, these folks have just...
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I'm online.
Senator Wilkowski, you want to direct the question?
Just a general question, whether you have any concerns over this bill or whether you support it.
For the record, my name is Mike Monagle. I'm the director for the Division of Workers' Compensation for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The division is, the department is neutral on the bill. There were some language in the Senate Labor and Commerce that has been addressed with the changes of the proposed amendment, so the department does not have any objections to the proposed language. Okay. We do have some concern with the retroactive clause. As a policy issue, just because it makes the legislation retroactive back to January 2014. So if there are any claims or any pending actions before the department, this bill would, in essence, take away the rights of those claimants to pursue a workers' comp claim for any injury happening while a transportation network company was operating in the state. But other than that, we have no objections.
Senator Wilkowski,
are you aware of any claims that have been filed since January 1st, 2014?
Through the chair, no, but as Senator Wilkowski is aware, an injured worker has up to 2 years to step forward with a claim, so we may not see a potential claim for a period of time.
And you'll be hanging on in case Senator Wilkowski wants to come back. And I can't remember. Thank you very much, Mr. Monagle. If there are no other questions, well, did you have any other questions from any other departments?
I'm just curious if any other departments have any concerns or whether they support or oppose the bill.
You can ask them individually, why don't we? You want to go down the list?
I don't want to go through the whole list.
Any DMV, would it be law or insurance? Where would you like to? I think it's a good thing to get on the record.
Yeah, I just want to get on
the
record.
Process. We'll ask Mr. Marty, I don't know if that's in what manner, Person Hester from the Division of Insurance.
Mr. Chairman, I'm here on the phone.
Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, I would just like to know if you have any concerns or whether you support or oppose the legislation.
For the record, Marty Hester, Deputy Director, Division of Insurance. Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, Section 1 of Senate Bill 58 is actually what affects the insurance code that we oversee, and we believe that Section 1 provides the clarity to those in Alaska that are involved in the TNC industry, the insurers, the drivers, the riders, and the TNCs, on what an insurer may or may not actually exclude on a policy, and it establishes that transportation network companies and insurers must work in concert to assist Alaskan consumers in resolving their claims. So we believe that it provides clarity and assistance to consumers.
So I understand Section 1 and says insurers that write automobile insurance in the state may exclude any and all coverage offered under the policy issued to an owner-operator of a personal vehicle for any loss or injury that occurs while a driver is logged onto the personal network. So help maybe explain this to me. We're not saying that. I mean, all these people who are driving, and this is an Uber, Lyft bill, all these people who are driving will have some degree of adequate insurance, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Welikowski, that is my interpretation of it as well. The other sections address the requirements for insurance. Section 1 just provides clarity to what a personal auto insurer may exclude for, and not necessarily a policy that's covering a TNC operator.
Okay, so
a TNC driver, as I believe, is defined in the bill itself.
So it looks like we're allowing personal insurance companies, a driver's personal insurance, to exclude coverage while the driver is working for Uber or Lyft or whoever. But then Uber or Lyft must provide insurance. Is that how this works?
Through the chair, that is my, or Senator Welikowski, that is my understanding of the bill as well. I believe it's Section 5 under 28 on page 6, line 16, and it that section itself develops the financial responsibility of the transportation network companies, which lays out the amount of insurance that they're required to cover for the different periods.
Just so I'm clear how this works, so person drives for Uber, they have their own personal insurance, but their personal insurance company could say, we don't want to cover you while you're driving for Uber. So then under Section 5, where we are requiring the transportation network company to provide that insurance, and it looks like it's while the driver is engaged in a prearranged ride, and I'm just wondering, person who owns the car is on the way to pick up someone, I assume that's covered, even though they don't have a passenger in the car. Person maybe going to get their car fixed. Is that sort of a gray area, or is that who covers that?
Through the chair, Senator Welikowski, there's considered three different periods of operation when someone is participating in a transportation networking company. Period one would be when a TNC driver has their the application on their smartphone or their cell phone, but has not made a pair. They're just looking to make a pair with someone. Period two is when a match has actually been made and accepted, but a passenger has not yet entered the vehicle. And period three would be when their passenger has actually been picked up by the TNC driver. And Section 5 actually speaks to the different sections. And starting on line 29, it speaks to the period one before the match has been made and providing the limits that are required by the TNC company. And then for periods two and three, that is on page 7, lines 10 and 11.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
I appreciate that we're actually questioning all these folks we have online. Often they're just waiting online. I appreciate your questions and getting this on the record, Senator.
Thank you.
Since we started, we do have somebody signed up, and they do represent one of the transportation network contractors, a gentleman from Uber. So I'm going to invite his public testimony, and that might answer or elicit more questions. We'll see where it goes. Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for your time. I'm the Senior Operations Manager for Uber in the Northwest. I apologize I was not able to physically be there for today's committee meeting, but This bill before you will clear up the relationship between TNCs and the small businesses or independent contractors that they partner with in the state of Alaska. Further, we've worked with multiple industry parties, including insurance, just as you heard a second ago, to outline insurance requirements for TNCs throughout the state. This is part of actually a national agreement that multiple states have now adopted for TNC insurance. As a result of this, this bill now provides regulatory clarity on the requirements for both TNC insurance and the TNC-affiliated drivers as independent contractors. If I may, just for a second, just to, if people are not familiar with Uber and what it is, Uber is a, like I said, a transportation network company. It's a platform that connects riders and drivers in search of safe, reliable rides with the nearest driver through a cashless transaction. The system brings an unprecedented level of accountability to transportation in cities, knowing where your driver is, who they are, and able to leave feedback after every trip. I can walk through as well the relationship and the flexibility that a driver that works with the Uber platform has on the system. Once someone does go through our very thorough vetting process of background checks, vehicle inspections, when they come onto the platform, they have the flexibility to come and go as they please and log onto the system. There's no shifts. Partners completely make their own hours. We actually see that the majority of them are part-time and just work on the platform 5 hours a week or 20 hours a month. It's completely up to them. They are not dispatched like a traditional taxi cab. They receive a request directly from the rider and are able to decide whether to accept it or not. Further, they have their own small business. In many places, they actually acquire business licenses with the local municipality. Partners take 80% of every calculated fare at the end of the trips. They have no hourly rates. Finally, they receive a 1099 from us at the end of each year. There is no tax withholding. And in places where multiple TNCs exist, such as a Lyft and Uber, partners are able to be logged into multiple platforms at the same time and choose which request to take. The bottom line being that this bill before you will clear up not only the insurance component of TNCs, but also the independent contractor relationship that exists. And I apologize for being a little bit longer, but would love to answer any questions, and thank you for your time.
And we looked up just some of the other names. It's again, this is a transportation network / insurance bill. Some of the other names of other folks that may enter a competitive area: Lyft, it's LYFT, Uber, who just testified, Sidecar, Wings with a Z instead of an S, and Summon, and I think my favorite, Haxi, H-A-X-I. So, and probably more out there, but this was just a little Google search. And so it's not about one company, it's opportunities to provide these. Uber has just certainly been the one that's been involved within the 49th state and one of the municipalities recently. Any other questions for Mr. Bennett? Thank you, sir, and please hang online. We've got about 15 more minutes until we have to stop. We'll see if we can get this moved out.
Thank you.
One thing I probably want to amplify, one part of this provision is some unfinished business. We have within the municipality of Anchorage and other jurisdictions the carriage riders, and they've had some issues on interpretation. This was providing some clarity. They have the exact same operating rules as taxis, that they just happen to be a different kind of horsepower than some of the vehicles. One of my, often we know from personal anecdotes occurrences, this gentleman who's in his 70s and still, I'd like to be as half as energetic as him when I'm 76, but I'm already below that. But he was going through cancer at the same time his wife was passing away. This provides clarity for the horse carriage issues, and I consider this unfinished business. And nobody has ever dissuade me that a horse carriage contract folks are any different than a taxi cab. But it was an anti-horse, anti-equine discrimination we're trying to clear up here. So, And for full disclosure, he happens to live within District 12, my district, although Representative Sadler took care of him for 2 years during the reapportionment lap. So that's out there, and that's why horse carriages are in there. It was a vehicle to put another vehicle in. So, are there any other? Is there anybody else testifying from the public or elsewhere? Involved parties? We'll go ahead and close public testimony. I believe we cleared up the fiscal note issue, and that's, will you please discuss that, Mr. Brzezinski?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There are two fiscal notes attached, one from DMV and one from Division of Insurance, and both of which are zero.
And is this bill going, this is the last stop for the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Until the good senators rules committee. Is there a will of the committee? Mm-hmm. Senator McGuire.
I would be honored. Mr. Chairman, I move that we move the CS for Senate Bill number 58 with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes out of this committee and onto the rules committee.
Hearing no objection, I think that concludes our business. And again, we will take up Senate Bill 89 tomorrow. We had there certainly were points that you put on the table, Senator Wilkowski, and we'll try to I don't know if we can resolve all the philosophical issues, but we'll try to get full answers from the sponsor.
No more questions, too, Mr. Chair.
I'm shocked. Okay. That's why we're meeting an extra day, just for you. With that, we will stand in adjournment.